This is an ATSF iProfessionals industry insight into managing interactive media.
Hi, I'm Barry Goldberg. I run the project management department here at agency.com as the vice president of project management. Agency.com is a full-service interactive agency involving both online marketing campaigns and world-class websites. We're actually located down in New York City in the heart of Madison Avenue. When I think of project management, whether you're working on an interactive project or you're launching the next space shuttle, project management is really about three main areas. One is communications, one is being flexible, and the third is demonstrating leadership. And those are the real key areas. I also believe that other areas important is being a great negotiator, being able to solve problems, being able to inspire others as well. And I also think that 95% project management is really about doing the basics, but doing those basics exceptionally well. Most companies fail at doing those basics at all, and that's, I think, the number one problem for failure in project management across industry. We founded agency.com when selling into any project or any client. We don't have a separate sales team approach. We tried that a long time ago. We tried SWAT team approaches, everything else, and they always seem to fail for many different reasons. What we instead try to do is, whenever a new opportunity comes in, you do have a salesperson, we call a business development director. They come in and they own the pitch, but then they can come in and they can get a pitch team assigned to them. That pitch team is everyday people. It's usually, you know, consisting of a creative director, client services director, project manager, and frequently a tech person as well. And these are people that are every day as part of the delivery organization here. Now, working with them, they can make sure what's sold can actually be delivered on time and on budget, which is a, you know, huge area that I would look to project managers to control and make sure that that happens. Let's talk about the pitch process. Then we'll talk about the tendering using preferred suppliers and vendors. For the pitch process, we have a very tight pitch process here at the agency that we follow across the board without fail. The way that process works is whenever we're working with a client, the first thing we do is to figure out what the scope is. Now, this is basic for any industry, applies here just as well. And we do that from just having a conversation with the client to figure out what their real needs are, define what the scope is, define what the schedule is, and defining what the costs are. What's very important is we don't jump straight to proposal or statement of work at this point. To us, that's probably a worst practice, not a best practice, because what happens is you end up negotiating out of statement of work business terms, and it's always difficult. Instead, we use a PowerPoint deck just as a vehicle for communicating what the scope is, schedule is, and that price is. And through that, we have the conversation with the client to figure out what they want to pay and what the scope is and do negotiating at that point. Now, once we have agreement from the client on what they're looking for and really on that PowerPoint deck, at that point, we start drafting a statement of work. However, there's also a way of fast-tracking that process. The client wants to get started yesterday, and they all do. We usually start work on a payment letter as well. The legal term is a letter of intent, and that payment letter protects us and protects the client as well, especially as the statement of work is being negotiated. Now, when we talk about the process here of bringing in preferred suppliers and like that, here at agency, you know, we have almost 500 people working across the board. First thing we try to do is to use people within our network who have the experience on that client, whether it's financial services or a banking company. We have a lot of people with that deep experience, with the industry experience. We also have a pool of contractors that we use all the time. This is a known entity, people who we know and we trust. And we actually view this pool to be a proving ground. And probably about a third of people who come in as contractors we hire as perms anyway. So it really makes sense for us. Any business is good business. However, we do have a very strict qualification process here at agency.com. Our business development team actually looks at every opportunity that comes in, whether it's something that's proactive that we came up with ourselves or is an RFP coming in. We evaluate each opportunity along a qualification sheet, and that will determine whether we go after that pitch or not. We're also very selective in what opportunities we pursue. If we get the feeling there's 40 vendors pitching for something, we usually will not pitch on it because usually the client's on a fishing exercise to get a real low-cost vendor, so we want to make sure that we have a real opportunity to do our great work. Part of that is whenever we work on a pitch, we have, you know, high pitch costs. We usually put a full pitch team in, and they're working 3-4 weeks on a pitch. So you multiply that by about 6 people, you get very high cost for that. Our idea of leaking to somebody else is definitely a risk on all pitches when I'm talking with clients. But usually, you have to pitch ideas to win pitches. So it's usually a risk we choose to accept, though. We are protected by a NDA that's mutual. However, those don't go very far sometimes, and very rarely do you actually chase down people afterwards. The stages that agency.com takes to plan out a project is a 4-step approach. And the first step is the concepting storyboard phase. This is where we're creating different concepts for the client. They're almost always in black and white or grayscale, and that's done on purpose because we don't want the client to get sidetracked on design at that point. Sometimes it's a wireframe, sometimes it's a page sketch, and usually there's some implied animation involved. The next step is once we show that the client get their approval, then we do the initial animation design. That's taking the concept they selected and animated that fully for one size. Review that with the client, and a big part of that is every step is a collaborative process. So clients involved with us every 2-3 days looking at it. It's not they sign a contract, 2 months later we come back with something. It's always a very collaborative process. And the third step is, after they approve that design, is going back and resizing all the other ad units. And the fourth step is to do the trafficking, taking all the ad units and placing it all on the sites that the ad units are running on. For example, if you have a banner running for E-Trade, it's going out to the E-Trade target site and working with those sites, or sometimes even double-click one of those companies to actually place those ads. Sometimes we do it, sometimes the clients do that. We found the best way to work with stakeholders is really getting all above board and talking to them. You know, your initial stakeholders is your client sponsor who's paying for the project. That's sort of an obvious one. The less obvious ones are all the client support groups. You know, if there's marketing groups, if there's a call center as well, there's manufacturing. It's working up front to figure out what the needs are and make sure that we talk with them and figure out exactly how to get them what they want as well. That's sometimes a challenge because a lot of it's down to just negotiating and figure out how to make everybody happy. So it's back to just the key of being, of showing good leadership and having great communications as well. When we work with stakeholders, we like to empower them and figure out what their needs are. And by empowering the stakeholders and communicating with them, it's going to really make them happy. Now, in the end, not all stakeholders will get what they want. That's just the nature of the business. Our job is to make sure from a business point of view that the client has what they need, especially if the client is paying us. When determining any project cost through agency.com, we use a very project management-centric approach. Everything is done task-based from a bottom-up level using detailed project plans. And from those project plans and working with the client scope, we can build the task and really build the work breakdown structure as well to define what the client wants. From that, we then apply resources and durations into the project plan, and you get the project cost. Of course, now that has to be counterbalanced with what the client is willing to pay. So at the same time we're doing that, our client services group is working with the client to figure out really what the client's budget is. Sometimes clients are easy and it tells the budget range, and that makes it much easier. Sometimes they have to guess that based on the conversations. So we try to match what the client wants to pay versus what the project is. The real challenge is sometimes they are very far apart, so at that point you need to really manage scope downwards. It's almost always downwards because usually your price is way too high at one point. We also believe in that you never want to sacrifice the quality of the product because clients will always remember the quality. So it's always back to managing scope down. At agency.com, the way we manage actual costs is everybody in the company is required to enter their time into online tracking program. That rolls up into a back-end financial system that the project managers can access really on a daily and weekly basis. From that, they can look at actual costs versus projected costs, and then they can make corrections as well. We also believe in the philosophy of no surprises. That's both in the company and with clients. As part of no surprises, that means we can be totally transparent, both their financial level and the work level. So the management team always has a grasp of what projects really cost us, and the same with clients as well. Contingency is always a great discussion point. To a lot of clients, to a lot of internal people working at agency.com, they don't want to hear the word contingency. They think that's all fat. As project managers, we know contingency is a perfect valid cost expense in any plan. So as a matter of fact, we do add a contingency into every plan that goes out the door automatically. What that covers us is besides just immediate cost overruns, allows us to build in more value as the client. So if we get a case we want something extra above board, there's a little budget put aside. Now, the big question is what contingency amount to set. That's something which varies by project. I actually, as the VP here in Project Management Group, actually set the contingency for every project. So I actually take that control out of the project manager's hand. Reason being is I don't want them to feel pressure from the peers here to lower the contingency, which they always try to do. Defining quality on interactive marketing sites is always an interesting point. Back in the old days, measuring quality is easy. You know, you do your system integration testing, you do your regression testing like that. The challenge with online marketing is these campaigns move very quickly. You know, you're not doing a project in the span of 6 months or a year. You're doing a campaign in the span of 3 to 6 weeks. So it's finding a level of quality that we can measure is really important. What we usually do for every campaign that's at the door is you have the project manager, the creative lead, and the client service lead will look and do an inspection of any deliverable. In addition, our QA department will then go over and test every deliverable as well. It's a rapid testing methodology, though, so it's really done in the span of half a day. And what they're looking at is to make sure that that deliverable matches the design, as well as making sure that it's tested on the different browser test and the Flash platform. So almost everything we do these days involves Flash. The main two difficulties we have at agency.com on projects, I think it's the same across any industry. The first one is managing scope. And managing scope is not always getting the client to agree up front the scope is, but it's getting the client to agree continuously, week over week, especially as their business changes. For example, we're working closely with E-Trade, and if one of E-Trade's competitors come out with a new campaign, then E-Trade may want to change their scope quickly and come out with a counter campaign to match it or do something else related to that. So that's always one area. The second part is clients always want everything yesterday, and it's really, really tough. But we find just showing the leadership and the communications with the client, being open with the client of what's possible, we can usually work through that. And what it usually means is finding out from the client what's really driving them, what really drives their date. Is there a big launch announcement? Is there a big offline ad campaign? We did work for eBay on the What Is It campaign. On that, they had a big television campaign tied to that launch date. So we had 1 week to turn around a project, which was for us even incredibly fast. But we did it, and it was an incredible success as well. The way we view managing to make sure that the user is represented is that all projects, we bring in a user experience expert. These are people that really look at how the user uses the site across all touch points and channels, whether it's offline, whether it's online, whether it's different media point touches as well. And they actually represent the client's viewpoint at that point. And in the beginning of the project, they're working to help us build initial page sketches and interactive prototypes. So at the end of the project, they're also involved to make sure what we build actually is usable as well. Now, there's also other cases, especially for, like we've done banking sites for like SunTrust Bank, for example, and we've done usability testing with them to make sure the designs we put out are actually usable as well. There's different levels of technical testing we do. We do find having strict testers are very, 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 very important on projects. For example, now one of our lead testers here is actually certified by the QAD. I'm not sure what the acronym stands for, I always forget, but they're the institute that certifies testers and makes sure that everybody meets a certain level of standard. What they do on marketing projects is make sure that the banners meet the design and they make sure that the banners or the ad units work in the browsers they needed. On more technical projects, they're involved much more heavily, everywhere from reviewing the design specs, from making sure that there's different levels of testing done. That includes integration testing, system testing, functionality testing, and full browser testing as well. ADC.com has an in-house legal counsel that's assigned full-time to what we do. What she does for us is she makes sure that everything is signed, everything is proper, as well as making sure that all projects before they start have either a signed letter of intent or a signed statement of work. In a few cases where clients won't sign anything, we will actually not start work until our local managing partner agrees to it in writing. Reason for that is we will make sure that we're not taking any risk out there, because in the 10 years that we've been around, we've been burnt a few times by clients saying, sure, we'll pay us, but not signing anything. The way we find to make teams work, it doesn't matter if they're creative or if they're technical strategies, client services, it's about communication, it's about being flexible, it's about leadership. And those are the three main areas. And we also find, as a professional services company, our business is about our people. Without people, we have no business. We don't exist. And the ways to do that is nothing groundbreaking. It's finding good people, finding ways to make this successful, finding ways to challenge them. We also found we want to empower people, not control people. Very, very important. We also don't want to constrain people. Instead, we prefer to set boundaries. And by doing that and focusing on the leadership aspect really brings out the best of people.
That iProfessionals Industry Insight was a production from ATSF. You can find more on our website at atsf.co.uk/MIM.